Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Charles Ross Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. And on this particular segment, we are going to deal with part two of my financial planning workshop. And that's going to deal with the nuts and bolts of putting together a budget. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. If you want to call in, have a question, my number is 516-387-1554. Once again, that's 516-387-1554. That is our phone number for you to call in and ask questions if you want. If you're one of my Facebook friends, you could go to my Facebook page and you can click on the link there and be a part of what we're doing. I always like to listen. Always like to hear from our listeners so that we can address some of their issues. On Monday, I went over the balance sheet, and I'll just quickly, if you're listening, of course, listening on your phone or on your computer, I have on my, if you click on the link, you'll see about three different worksheets. I'm not sure if you can stop it, but one is the balance sheet. The other one is, The other one is the income and expenses part. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But I just want to review the balance sheet real quickly. Of course, the balance sheet is a better indication of how successful a money manager you have been. I know some people look at income, but your balance sheet really tells a lot about what's come through your hands. In other words, what income has come through your accounts, your checkbook, or whatever, and you've been able to hang on to. So it's a better idea of what type of money manager you have been. And of course, you have assets and liabilities. Assets are things that you own, things like your cash and your savings account. excuse me. Like cash in your savings account, any real estate you have, your personal residence, your investment real estate, that kind of thing. Your stocks and bonds, mutual funds, personal property, those are your assets. Then you subtract out your liabilities. So all the debts that you own, your car loan, your home loan, credit cards, current debts, any other liabilities, student loans, those kinds of things. So that's the balance sheet. So you subtract your liabilities from your assets, and that's what they call your net worth. I mentioned on Monday that a lot of times you'll see these celebrity and athletes or famous people's net worth, and I'm always thinking that's really their assets, the things that they have coming in, because it's very difficult to know what a person, especially a celebrity or anybody else, what their liabilities are. So I think it's a misnomer oftentimes when you see, so-and-so is worth $100 million, $200 million, $50 million, $1 million, whatever, because you don't know what their liabilities are. That's a little anecdote just to kind of keep in the back of your mind when you see that again. You say, well, what are their liabilities? What do they owe? So I'm going to play a segment from one of my vignettes called Your Personal Finance. It's about 2 minutes, and then I'll be back, and we'll dive right in to the budget and give you an opportunity to also to call in. Our call-in number is 516-387-1554. That's 516-387-1554. I'm going to play this segment for about 2 minutes, and then I'll be back.
Your wallet is a little short, but the bills keep coming. Financial strategies when money is tight on today's Your Personal Finance.
I'm back on the Charles Ross Show. Going to talk now about budgeting. As I had mentioned before, that if you're using a budget, paper and pencil, then I mean that's you should upgrade. because it's very difficult, you know, to manage a budget with paper and pencil. You need to get into the 21st century and order one of the many different types of budget software programs they have out there. The one that I particularly like that I've used for many, many years is called Quicken. It's by a company called Intuit. You know them about TurboTax. It's one of their products. And so Quicken, Quicken. And right now you can get it on Amazon for about $40. You order it, and as soon as you order it, they give you a code, they can download it, and you can be good to go right away. So I recommend that you get, there's other programs out there, but that's the one that I'm familiar with and I think I like. Also, what it'll do for you, once you download it, you can then go onto your financial institution, log on to your financial institution through the program, and download transactions from your financial institutions, and then categorize those transactions. So when, you know, it looks like a checkbook in the program, and then you have to categorize it, you know, your salary, of course, from your job, is your income, and then your expenses, your categories. We're going to get into some of those things. And that's why I wanted to share with you on today some of the categories you are, you know, wanting to get. Now, what I would suggest that if you are interested in getting a printed copy of this budget worksheet, in the program, when you clicked on, there's a chat feature. And if you'll be more than glad just to send me your email address, and I'll be more than glad to provide you with a copy of a printed copy of this particular budget worksheet. But if you're good at writing things down, if you're in a place to write it down, then get a pencil, a pen ready, and a piece of paper, and let's go at it. So the first thing that I want to talk about is your income. So first of all, your income is your salary minus your federal, state, you know, taxes, your Social Security taxes, and then your net income. And so what I'm going to be going through is that I am going to share the percentages that you should have in some of these categories. So to give you some ideas to where you are in terms of being able to execute your budget. So let's talk about housing for a minute. Okay. So housing, here are the things that you're going to see in the housing, you know, area. You're going to see your mortgage or rent, your insurance, could be renter's insurance, mortgage insurance. Oftentimes, if you have a mortgage, your homeowner's insurance is included in your mortgage. Also, any taxes that you're paying, if you're not paying them as part of your mortgage, electricity, gas, water bill, sanitation, telephone, and maintenance. And this could be items like, when I say maintenance, it could be things like lawn care, which is not really maintenance. Well, I guess it is maintenance, lawn care, any type of things that you're doing to your house, that you maintain the house, pest control, alarm systems, those kinds of things. Also, I would include in that, your internet, you know, a bill, because everybody, pretty much a lot of folks have now internet and Wi-Fi, so include that. And any other expenses that come to mind that's part of keeping your house together, okay? So that's going to be, all of that should total up about 30% of your income, okay? You want to write that down, 30%, 30. The next category, and like I said, if you have a question, you can give us a call at 516-387-1554. Also, I like to hear from people who have had great experiences with budgeting and how it has, you know, blessed them in their lives. So we'd be glad to hear from those people to, you know, so they can share a little bit about what budgeting has done for you. Because a lot of people who are first starting out oftentimes have a real challenge being able to navigate pulling together a budget. Okay, so 30% on housing, mortgage, insurance, taxes, electricity, gas, water, sanitation, telephone, maintenance, and any other expenses. Total housing is 30% of your budget, okay? Now we get to the part on food. Food is items that, and this doesn't include eating out, right? This is groceries. This is when you go to the grocery store and you buy food. We're going to have another section where we talk about eating out. So food is going to be 12%. And that's for a family of four. So, you know, if you're in a situation where it's just you and your spouse, then that would be 6%. If it was three of you, it would be 9%. So if you're single, it would be 3%, you know, of your budget should be allocated towards groceries. All right. Any other any questions about that? 516-387-1554 is our phone number. The next thing that I want to look at and is your automobile expenses. And this is where it gets a little tricky, because everybody generally what they do is that they decide what kind of car they want and then try to make that car fit into their budget. And how it usually works, you go to a car lot and you pick out a car. You say, I really like that Corvette. And then you find a way to fit it into your budget. But if you approach it, if you're thinking about buying a new car, earlier last week I said this is probably not a good time to buy a car. But at the same time, it might be a good time, because right now a lot of car dealers are laying off people because folks are staying home and not buying those things. But if you do and you just have to go and buy one, this is probably a good time to do it if you feel confident that you're going to have the income in the next 6 months or year or whatever to support that car payment. And now, you know, car payments, when I first started, you know, buying cars back in the 70s, and I think at 76, 77 is when I first bought my first car, the payments, you know, were usually about 48 months, 4 years. That was it. You couldn't go any further than that. Now, I mean, they have car payments as long as 72 months, and I think even longer than that. And the reason why short car payments make sense, because, you know, once you drive that car off the lot, it's usually worth about 25-30% less than what you bought it for. And some cars don't last 5 years, you know. So anyway, that's a conversation for another story, for another time. But car payment here in the automobile section, your budget should include in the automobiles, your car payment, gasoline and oil, insurance, your licenses. In other words, when you have to go renew your car tag, and you have the taxes, maintenance and repair. This should total not more than 15%, okay, 15% of your income. Let that sink into it. Do the math. I'm sure people doing the math in their head like, wow, I'm paying $400, $500 a month. Let me see, you carry the one. You probably might be paying a little bit more than 15%. And the one thing I do want to say is that once you put your budget together and you see that you're overspending in certain categories, it has to be made up somewhere else. So, for example, if you are spending 15% on your car expenses, your automobile expenses, then perhaps you're spending less in your housing expenses. Does that make sense? And when we get to some of the other categories, we'll see. Because overall, you can't spend more than your income. At least I hope you're not. Okay, because in that way, then you're going into debt and you're tapping those credit cards or lines of credit, and that's a no-no. So anyway, so 15% for automobiles, once again, car payment, gasoline and oil, insurance, licenses and taxes, and maintenance and repair, all those things, you know, should be back. So we have that. So let's go to a next category, insurance. And this is life insurance, health insurance, other types of insurance you may have. The total insurance package should not cost more than 5% of your income. Okay, any questions on that? Our number, 516-387-1554. 516-387-1554. And before I go on to the next sheet that deals, I just want to thank the folks. I've had a lot of people. What I'm finding out, as I'm new to this medium, you know, I had a radio show. I've been in broadcasting, since 1976. And in some way or another, and I probably spent 25, 30 years in broadcasting, and this medium is really new. But what I'm finding is that as much as I'd love people to listen to the show live, a lot of them are listening at their leisure later on, maybe not downloading it, but listening it later on. Which is good. That's all right. That's what this medium is for. But I like to interact with folks, you know, talk to them, because a lot of time I look over stuff that some people may have thought about, a question that they may have, that may spur me to address an issue that I may have just may just look over. Okay, so let's move on to debts. That's credit cards, bank loans, things like that. You know, we need to make sure that you're keeping. I mean, I know in a society that we live in now, it's a very debt. It's very easy to get in debt with cars and even to some extent homes and credit cards and things like that. But you want to keep that down to a very, very minimum, about 5% of your budget. And this is the credit cards and things like that. One of the questions that comes up is that, you know, which credit cards should you pay off first? Let's say you have three credit cards and one is $500, has a $500 balance. Another one has a $1,000 balance. And then another one has a $1,500 balance. Now, you would think that, well, I should have tackled the one that has the biggest balance. And that probably logically makes sense. But the reality is, just from a motivational standpoint, you probably need to attack the one with the smaller balance. You say, why is that, Dr. Ross? I said, well, because you need to have some success in being able to pay off a debt early. So a $500 credit card debt, you can pay off that depending on your income and what you can throw at it. If you double up on your payments on that card, you might be able to pay it off in 6 months, 3 months, 4 months. And once you do that, that gives you the motivation to say, well, whatever I was allocating towards that particular debt, then I will allocate towards the other two, the $1,000 card that I have and the $1,500. So it's just kind of a mental thing to kind of keep you motivated, because a lot of times when you're having to deal with long-term goals, things like that, you have to have some motivation. So that's something to keep in mind as you think about paying off debt. Pay off the smaller ones first, so you can have some success early on and you'll be motivated to do the rest. That makes sense? I think so. Once again, our number is 516-387-1554. If you want to call in and share some of your insights into how you've been successful budgeting your money. The next category I want to talk about is the entertainment and recreation category. You know, for many of us, some of us, we may be entering to a period of austerity where we will have to, nail down the hatches and, you know, prepare for the worst. But even if that's not the case, and I hope it doesn't come to that, but if you're trying to achieve some goals, and oftentimes budgeting is one of the areas you have to kind of dig into, is that you still got to have fun on a budget. I mean, you can't go a whole month or two without going out to eat or having some, going to a play or a movie or a concert or whatever, a comedy show. So you have to have allocate something. You may have to, you know, go on Groupon or Living Social and get some deals, but you should have fun. You should be looking forward to something, okay? So entertainment, recreation. Here are the categories, okay? Remember I mentioned that in the food category, you're only going to put the things in there for groceries? Well, in the entertainment, recreation area, you have a section for food, and that's restaurants, going out to eat. And that could get costly. But I've seen some deals. Like, for example, I saw Longhorn. They're having a deal now. They have meals where you can buy for a family of four at $9 a piece for $40. You can feed a family of four. That's pretty cheap at Longhorns, but they're all trying to respond. All these companies are trying to respond to what's happening, you know, in the economy right now. They're trying to get people to come in there and buy food. And obviously you can't come in there and sit down and have the atmosphere of sitting down to eat. You got to take it home. But a lot of these restaurants, I'm sure Outback and some of the other ones are having, obviously, you know, deals to encourage people to come in and pick something up to go and take it back home. So you're going to see more of that as the economy, you know, as we get through this pandemic, because we don't know how long it's going to last. Travel. If you're planning any travel that you're going to do, you should include that, your hotel and your airline and your, you know, car expense that you're going to have. If you got little ones at home, babysitters, vacation, you know, other activities, you're taking dance lessons or whatever, entertainment, recreation, this should total no more than 5% of your budget. Okay. All right. Once again, I'm going to give out the number 516-387-1554. I know some of you guys got to have some great experiences, and maybe we'll get to that at the end of the show. Some folks will call in. And for those who are listening on the podcast, as I mentioned, you send me your email address in the chat section, and I will be more than glad to send you this budget worksheet. The next category, clothing. We went out, the wife and I went out to do some grocery shopping and went into Walmart, and for the first time ever in the clothing section, there was no one in there buying any clothes, but they had all the spring stuff out, which eventually I guess people are going to buy, but I'm sure people are saying, you know what, I'm at home, I've got clothes, I'm not going to the store just to buy some clothes, you know, so that may be a part of what's happening in the economy now. People just going to the grocery store to buy groceries instead of to buy some other things. So clothing, 5%. Okay. We get to savings. You got to have allocate money to go towards savings. And you should be saving at least 10% of your income. Okay. And this could include the amount that you're putting towards your retirement plan, a 401k, 403b, or something of that nature, but also included in that should be money that you're putting aside for emergency expenses. So let me just briefly just go through how that money should be allocated, okay? So if you're putting aside 10% of your income towards savings, okay, the rule of thumb is to have at least 3 to 6 months worth of expenses saved up. So if your expenses are $1,000 a month, you should have a minimum of about $3,000 set aside in what we call a liquid account. And when I say liquid, I mean this is an account where you can go into it without getting any penalties. You know, in other words, there's no penalties to withdraw the money. Chances are we're talking about a money market account, something of that nature. An insured money market account where you know the money is going to be there, okay? So 3 months' expenses invested in what we call cash equivalents. Now, if you have big money, I'm talking, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, then that's a whole nother matter. But you want to have at least 3 months' expenses in an interest-bearing account. And right now, you probably get, if you're lucky to get 1%, you're probably getting a half of a percent. But then you need to have that's three months expenses in the cash reserve, then another 3 months invested in what we call something liquid, maybe a certificate of deposit or something of that nature, very short term. But now, I with the current environment, I would say you probably need to have 6 months of your money put into a money market account, not sitting in your checking account, but in a money market account. A savings account, if you will, 6 months. So if your expenses are $1,000 a month, then $6,000. So I just amended my recommendation based on what's going on in the economy right now. Then once you've done that, then you should have another 6 months in what we call a liquidity reserve. And this is where you can invest in mutual funds, some very conservative mutual funds. I'm talking about a bond fund, a stock fund with it's rated where the stocks are rated A or better, a bond fund triple B or better. And the reason is that, you know, these are going to be a little bit more stable. They're going to fluctuate in value a little bit, but you shouldn't see a lot of fluctuation. Okay. So your total cash reserve should be at least a year's worth of expenses. You're probably saying, wow, that's a lot. Well, friends, I do know that, you know, you didn't get into this situation overnight. It may take you a minute to get there, but this is what you should be moving toward. Now, it may take you, I'll be honest with you, it may take you a couple of years to get there. But the first thing is starting on getting that 1 month of expenses, a saving set aside. And the tendency is that when you put that money aside is that, you know, let's say it's $1,000, you have $1,000 worth of expenses, and you get, after maybe a couple of months, you get that first thousand, and the temptation is going to be there to say, you know what, man, $1,000, I could take a vacation, you know, to Florida or to the Caribbean, or maybe even go to Europe or Africa, wherever, or go to California or New York. But I'm going to tell you one thing. that I know, if you can't put money aside and not touch it, hear me, if you can't put money aside and not touch it, it's going to be very difficult for you to ever be financially independent, which is what we're all gearing towards, right? I don't care if you're young and you want to be financially independent in 10 years, 15 years, or you're an old geezer like me, you know, 62, and you're looking to retire in 3 years. You know, you got to be able to put that money aside and not touch it. I'm just going to be honest with you. You have to be able to do that. And that's something you have to, you know, grow into sometimes. But you're looking to put at least a year's worth of expenses aside, starting with, you know, with 1 month, with a minimum of 6 months. Okay? Any questions on that? 516-387-1554 is my phone number. Once you've done that, then you should be looking at doing some what we call optional investment fund, where you're going to invest in a business. Maybe you're going to do some speculation and start maybe investing in some individual stocks or more aggressive mutual funds, perhaps get in real estate, which is what me and my wife are doing. We're investing in what we call the sub 35 market. That means that buying houses that are under $35,000 in value, and then renting them out for anywhere from $500 to $700 a month. And you say, wow, where are you doing that? Well, we'll have to talk about that on another show. Okay, so where was I? Oh, medical expenses. Here you're looking at items like your doctor, dentist, drugs, and all that kind of stuff. It shouldn't be more than 5% of your income. And generally what this amounts to is your copay when you go to the doctor. You know, how much you have to come out of your pocket to go. You know, dentists are a little different. You know, I still believe dental plans are just horrible. You know, I mean, when you think about your teeth and that if you don't have any teeth in your mouth, you can't eat, and that's a problem. So, but dental plans and eye plans for, you know, for glasses and stuff like that are just terrible. Optical plans are just terrible, you know. But that's because we don't fight for them, that we let these politicians and these companies tell us what, and these employers tell us what we want. But we do need better dental and optical plans. All right, so 5% is for medical expenses. And then the last category is miscellaneous, which is 8% of your budget. And this is for babysitting and, you know, beauty and barber, laundry, dry cleaning, allowances, subscriptions, gifts. Those kinds of things. So all that stuff, you know, it hopefully is under 100%, and your income and expenses, your net should be a positive. If it's not a positive, then you got to go back up into that budget and start cutting some things and start, you know, right now with a lot of people facing unemployment, or they might already be unemployed. Only thing that is not sacred is food and shelter. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to play another segment from Your Personal Finance Archives. This is called Raising Money Smart Kids. Take a listen. I'll be back on the other side, hopefully with some of your phone calls. 516-387-1554. 516-387-1554. If you're one of my Facebook friends, I'll be more than glad to entertain any questions that you post in the chat. That's on the link on the on my page. And but here's Raising Money Smart Kids from Your Personal Finance.
Can parents with different attitudes about finances raise money smart kids? Find out on today's Your Personal Finance.
Chrysler 300M presents an original composition by Dr. Sonia Sanchez and Mr. Eric Benet.
Perfection in an imperfect world.
I hear you whispering my name in the wind. Go on with your high energy self.
300M.
I feel you rounding these curves, bringing your rhythm of life to the road.
Perfection in an imperfect world.
You bring speed and beauty You bring the future and the past. I say, wake up, world.
Perfection.
And let this new day come in.
300 in.
The best place for kids to learn about money is at home. But according to surveys, youngsters in the U.S. are embarrassingly uninformed. What makes money a taboo subject in many households? Apparently, it's the emotional debates parents often have about it. But mothers and dads should agree on this. It's important to get an early start teaching your children basic financial concepts. To help your kids, divide money management into four basic areas: earning, spending, saving, and borrowing. In your daily routines, while you bank, pump gas, or discuss family vacations, use every opportunity to give clear, practical examples of these principles. As your kids grow, so should their financial lessons and responsibilities. For your personal finance, I'm Charles Ross.
All right, and we're back to the Charles Ross Show, and I'm your host, Dr. Charles Ross, and we're talking about setting up a budget and the financial planning workshop. This is usually it takes me about 2 hours to do this, so I've kind of condensed it down for the sake of the broadcast, and maybe at some other time I'll do a more expansive version of it, but it gives you an idea of some of the things you should include. If you didn't hear at the top of the show, I do recommend that, you get a computerized budget program. And the one that I recommend is Quicken. And you can go on Amazon and download a program for about $40, the basic one. And I think that will suffice for most people. Once again, phone calls. If you have a question or comment, 516-387-1554. Love to hear from you about what you think about what I've just shared, some comments about perhaps, how you have budgeted your money, how successful that has been for you, because there's a lot of folks out there doing some great things in terms of making sure that their money is, well taken care of. I also would like to, recommend that you be able to download this program. I understand they call it a podcast, so you can download it. And I'm real pleased to see that a lot of folks have been doing that. It gives me encouragement to keep on doing this because it takes a lot of preparation to do these kinds of things. And so I want to make sure that that folks can still have access to the program once we do that. One of the things that before I go, I do want to share is that a lot of companies are now sharing their way they're trying to support people during this coronavirus pandemic. And they're sharing things like earlier this week, Allstate announced that they're giving a 15% discount on the premiums. I think it was for April and May. Then I saw Geico is doing something similar. I'm waiting for Progressive and State Farm to kind of step up. So, one of four or five of the biggest insurance companies in the country. Haven't heard about what they're going to do about mortgage insurance or for life insurance. Later on this week, if God willing, on Friday, we're going to have a guest on to talk about what you can do during this time as far as your insurance is concerned. And that should give us some insight on that. Well, that pretty much ends all the things I wanted to share about budgeting. Thank you so much for listening to it live or on a podcast. And please do give me some comments or some feedback. This is a work in progress. I'm going to try to do this 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm still wrestling with whether I want to keep it strictly finance or even delve into some other topics that interest me, but I'll give that some thought. So I'm going to lead out with, of course, Mr. Barry White, the maestro. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Please be safe out there, and we'll see you guys at Friday at 7 o'clock.